6:30, 55 KRCD Talk Station. It is Friday Eve, and a very happy one to you. We're going to be hearing from Mayor John Cranley after the top of the hour news. He'll be breaking the bad news about the budget yesterday. Yes, the water rate hike went through. You got 5 years of increases. Oh, gird your loins on that one. He'll be talking about violence and, of course, his gubernatorial campaign, and a man who is also going to be talking a little bit about violence in light of Chief Isaac's speech at the Law and Public Safety Committee meeting earlier this week, FOP President Dan Hills. Welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show, my friend. It's always great talking to you.
Hey, Brian. It's always great to be here with your listeners.
And you know what? I was really happy to see the numbers. I know 37 homicides is nothing to be happy about, but violent crime in this city is down, he said, 12% from last year. We are clearly not suffering from the struggles of the Portlands, the New Yorks, the Chicagos, and other cities that seem to be overrun with crime and also defunding their police departments. 73% closure rate. Congratulations to all the men and women in the Cincinnati Police Department. That's a pretty darn good closure rate, Dan. I don't know what it is in places like Chicago, but I can't imagine it's anywhere near that high.
Well, there's a lot of big cities in which the closure rate on homicides is less than 50%. I've bragged often on our homicide, our criminal investigation section, our criminalists. They do outstanding work. Is one of the things that I had a beef with our current governor, who suggested that if there's a police-involved shooting, that our homicide unit is incapable of honestly investigating the circumstances around a police officer shooting, and they'd want us to sit around with a crime scene, which could include a deceased individual, for hours to wait for the Ohio Crime Bureau folks to get down here, who can't even begin to hold a candle to our folks. Just an absolutely ridiculous notion. But that's for another show, Brian.
That's fine. But if you look at the homicide victims, sadly, the vast majority of them are between the ages of 18 and 35. Domestic, number one, 11 homicides were related to domestic violence. So you can kind of move that out. If you're going to have problems with your spouse, I don't know what kind of hands can be laid on to prevent that kind of thing from happening. Drugs were in four of them. Target specific retaliation, maybe gang related or otherwise, seven of those were that. A running dispute, I don't know what that is, three homicides related to that, one connection with a robbery, one called sudden disputes, three homicides. Unintended, so they weren't even meant to be shot, or maybe discharge of a firearm inadvertently, five of them, and then that leaves three that there's no determination. That doesn't suggest that it's like sort of rampant gang violence and like you have in Chicago. Maybe at least on a percentage basis it might, but this is all over the board. You can't say, here's one societal problem that'll clear up the homicides that we're having in Cincinnati, can you, Dan?
No, and this will lead me into the work the Gun Crimes Task Force is doing. When you're talking about the domestic related, they're including street battles that involve, boyfriend, girlfriend, new boyfriend type of incidents.
Oh,
so they've kind of spread out what, and I understand they're not trying to deceive anybody, but because it is domestic in sense.
Oh, yeah.
But what has changed and where, the Gun Crimes Task Force has come in is a dispute, whether it's about a domestic or a boyfriend-girlfriend situation or these unsettled disputes, is that people are settling disputes often with guns. And I think the one thing that you could pretty much hold in common with almost all these shootings is that you have somebody that doesn't respect the rule of law and in a lot of cases is already breaking the law by carrying a gun because they're under some sort of disability or whatever. And that's where the Gun Crimes Task Force and the methods that CPD had been using to change, because I think we've kind of flip-flopped in our years here a little bit. 2020 last year began extremely violent. I mean, we were on pace to have well over 100 homicides. Then they start deploying the Gun Crimes Task Force and others to just try to bring down the raw number of people out there carrying weapons illegally, and things got a little better, and they stayed a little better, and that's where I'm not as much in a celebratory mood as maybe I should be with some of those numbers. because there's been a recent uptick. I think there's been 100 shootings in just the last couple months, and there's been double digits in homicides over each of the last couple months, May and June. So I think here again we're changing the dynamics of the way we're policing, where we were still kind of strong out there with the traffic stops and the gun crimes task force in the beginning of the year. Now we're starting to, because of the politics involved, and I think I might have said this last time I was on your show, at every level of the police department, from the police chief down to a couple coppers out there in their patrol car, they're starting to make decisions that are less proactive, I'll say, in their policing. And that's being forced upon them by another one of my topics of late, and that's the CCA. But we're tax funding kind of leftist war on policing methods, and so I'm afraid our numbers might not stay as far below the national averages as they are right at this pinpoint moment.
All right. Well, one can only pray that they stay low, but I certainly appreciate where you're coming from. And also the fact that, well, summer's here, the warm weather is upon us, and there's usually an increase in crime when that happens anyway. So hold on a second. I got a couple more questions for you about the Gun Crimes Task Force, and then we'll talk about budgeting. And also I want to hear about your level of optimism or perhaps pessimism insofar as police recruiting classes and getting police to join the police department. 641, 55 Care City Talk Station. Happy Friday Eve. Brian Thomas with FOP President, Chapter 69, which is Cincinnati Police Department's Union. Dan Hills, we're talking public safety, generally speaking. Chief Isaac, of course, speaking to the Law and Public Safety Committee meeting earlier this week, preceded the budget vote, which was yesterday. The gun crimes task force that you spoke of, have you determined of this? I think it was like 750 guns you got off the streets this past year or recently. And there's
just this year, already.
Just so far this year.
Yeah,
that's amazing. There's this big national debate, and Biden was even talking about it yesterday. Cracking down on this small percentage of gun dealers who supply guns to people, like through straw man conveyances and things like that, illegally. Illegal activity in connection with gun sales. Have you been able to determine collectively where the vast majority of these guns come from? Is there a specific source? Are they stolen? Are they the so-called ghost guns with no serial numbers on them? Are these the community loaner guns that are out there that people share? What's going on here, Dan?
Well, Brian, every now and then you stump me and I say, you know what, this is something I haven't really quizzed the homicide experts about.
Okay.
I was just talking to a homicide sergeant yesterday about the nature of these shootings, and that's why I was able to respond right back to you about the
motivation
versus gun, the motivation and all that stuff like that. I have to peg out of the conversation of where the guns here in Cincinnati are specifically coming from. I haven't looked into it much, but guess what I'm going to do now?
Give you something.
So the next time you ask me, I'll have a little bit more on it.
Okay.
But fire away with the next question. If I beg out twice in a row, then you're going to have to skip bring me on for a week.
No. That's okay. And again, I appreciate your role is the role of running the union, the police department's union. You are not on the street engaged in these with these criminals day to day like the way you used to when you were out on the street. So I get it. You're a step removed, and that's okay. The traffic stops we spoke of, and talked to other people about this. This is the proactive policing that many jurisdictions, like, for example, New York, got rid of only to see crime jump through the roof. Last year, you said we had a really bad start of last year, and was that not because the number of patrols and the number of interactions with anybody went down because nobody wanted to interact with anyone due to COVID, so people were running amok a little bit more, recognizing that the likelihood of running into a cop was pretty slim? And I phrase it that way, Dan, because I got a speeding ticket last year, and when the cop pulled me over, he's like, you know how fast you're going and whatever. And he said, well, why were you going so fast? I said, well, one, I'm on my way to work, and I do show prep before I go to work. But two, I said, you guys aren't out patrolling anymore. I said, I haven't seen a cop on the highway in 6 months. So, yeah, I got a little lead footy. Is that the kind of thing that was going on last year, Dan?
Oh, very much so. And I've become a big believer in targeted enforcement. And that's, you know, when we talk about the Gun Crimes Task Force. And this is something that, you know, the police chief has done approved the plan of saturating with this specific unit areas that are high in gun crime, high in violence. So if you've had a lot of shootings, say, in a certain intersection in Westwood or in Avondale or Walnut Hills, then that's one of the areas that they're going to go work for the day. And like I said, it becomes a math problem. And what they do is very, very brave, very smart, but it's not necessarily very complex. It's if you flood the area and you look for good probable cause to stop vehicles and then see if you get further probable cause from that stop to investigate further. And then if you find a gun and somebody carrying it illegally, you take them off the streets. Now, the rest of the criminal justice system isn't exactly, knocking it out of the park. Maybe that person's back out on the streets in a few days. Maybe they'll have a gun again, within weeks or months later, but maybe not. So I think it's a simple math reduction of people that become likely to shoot other people, then therefore reduces our shootings, and that's exactly how we went about it. There wasn't a lot of it during COVID. You just said it because of the out of control skyrocketing violence in 2020. They took a couple of different units and made them the Gun Crimes Task Force and got them out there, got them active with that philosophy of let's just make contacts and reduce guns in these specific areas. And so it worked. Statistically, it showed that it worked. It comes 2021, we're still doing it. But then, as I said, we've got this increasing pressure. We have tax-funded de-policing, kind of a leftist war on policing. I don't know how else to say it. You know, we're funding the painting of a mural of an organization that's out there trying to de-police us and BLM. And then we have, instead of civilian oversight, you have everybody in council increasing the funding, with the exception of Betsy Sunderman. You have everybody in council increasing the funding of the Civilian Complaint Authority, and they're not involved in civilian oversight. They're involved in, like I said, leftist view of de-policing, so that at every level, even though it's not official policy, from the chief all the way down to the coppers in the streets, they're like, I don't know if this is worth it, staying as proactive as we have been. Yeah. And I see that effect starting to affect the gun violence on the streets again as ticked up. So that's,
because let me just make sure I got this clear. The tactic works great. You've shown over time when you're not doing it, violence increases. When you're doing these traffic stops and everything, violence decreases. One of the reasons the number of traffic stops might decrease is because the police department morale being down because politicians won't stand up for the work that they're doing. They're not inclined to make the stop, right? I mean, it is one of the most
dangerous. It's worse than they're not standing up for the work they're doing. In a sense, they're engaging in policies that go after them for the work they're doing. I mean, this is back to where my job is. Like you said, I'm removed from the streets, but I'm not that far removed because I'm representing the folks who are on the streets every day. As they're constantly being interviewed by internal and the Civilian Complaint Authority, as they're out there actually soliciting for complaints on police officers.
Yeah.
And so because then they say, boy, we're needed. Look, all these complaints, they're higher on the police. And the CCA, of course, is bragging. They have a big, thick book that they came out like, wow, we're finding more sustained charges than the year before. And we're finding a lot more sustained charges than internal. They are out there politically fighting for their piece of the pie to say how badly they're needed. Because without them, there's these out-of-control police officers, which you and I both know isn't the case.
Ridiculous.
I'm not saying that every Cincinnati police officer is perfect. I'm not saying that there isn't an occasional rules violation or anything else. But we're not out there in a general sense violating people's rights or abusing people. I think Cincinnati police has shown that over and over again. What we're out there trying to do is be proactive and see if we can reduce the number of people killing one another. That's a pretty good idea for a police department to do, right?
It sure
is. And we're doing it, And then here comes the tax-funded attack on it. I'd say it's borderline insane, but we went way past the border.
We are in some Salvador Dali version of life right now. Very surreal and very strange. Finally, before we go, as that relates to the recruit class, you and I have talked about this before. We have several recruit classes lined up. They've budgeted for them. You're 90 officers short of the mark right now, and that's only getting worse with attrition for a lot of the reasons we're talking about. Do you think you're going to have a problem finding enough good people that qualify to be police officers that'll fill the class, fill the ranks?
You know, I hope I'm not getting involved again now in the inner workings of recruiting and what they're doing. I worry when you have as few people signing up for the original test and the pressure to get people hired that they could lower standards. Now,
yeah,
the people that I've seen come out of the recent years, military vets, college educated people, super people that are doing super work. So I think that our recruiting unit is doing a very fine job. I think one of the issues that we have, and I agree with more of what our police chief does and says than I don't. It's just, you know, it's public when I disagree, is that as we've reduced our numbers, we've reduced only one rank, and that is the rank of police officer, essentially. I think there might have been a short reduction of the number of sergeants. So we've got a lot of bosses out there and not a lot of troops, and that's the one thing.
Uh-oh.
They're getting hit with mandatory overtime. Our people are tired, and I would like it if they would, maybe make some realignments or something.
Fair enough.
We need more street cops, and we need them
now. You need them yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Dan Hills, FOP President, Chapter 69, Cincinnati Police Department. Thank you, and God bless you for what you and all the men and women of the Cincinnati Police Department do for each and every one of us every single day. Stay safe, stay well, and I'll look forward to talking with you again real soon.
Brian, I appreciate it. I'm going to research a question I couldn't answer.
I appreciate that, Dan. I certainly do, and I know you will.